We've been in the middle of a series called Loud and Clear, and we've been talking about communication. We've been talking about how we communicate with each other, how do we communicate to ourselves sometimes. And week one, we talked about how we communicate with our words and that our words are dangerous and they're powerful and they're revealing. And then we challenged ourselves to control the flow. The Bible says that what comes out of our mouth comes from our heart. It flows from our heart. So we've been encouraged to protect our hearts. And then week two, we talked about what we transmit to this world through our written words, through our bodies, through our actions. And we were challenged to transmit to the world a life that honors and praises God. Last week, we talked about our angry words. How do they work in this world when we get angry? How do we have angry words to each other, angry words to our coworkers, to our spouses? What do the angry words do? And we've been challenged to think before we speak. I don't know about you, I didn't do a good job this week. But there, overall, this series, we've been having one verse that's kind of guided us through the whole thing. It's found in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Jesus said that what flows out of our mouth comes from the heart. So we're talking about we've got to protect our heart. We've got to guard our heart above all else. We've been challenged to evaluate our heart. We've been challenged to guard it. But we haven't talked about how we're going to do that. So we've talked about all these communication things, and the one line of communication we haven't talked about is our communication with God. So today we're going to talk about our communication with God. We're going to talk about prayer and what ways that we can connect and communicate with God. Is it coming in loud and clear? So the question we're going to ask today is, how is your communication with God? How is it? If you think to yourself, well, I'm fine, or it's lacking, whatever it is. We're going to look at communication with God through prayer. In the Bible, prayer is referenced over 600 times, either through an actual prayer, a reference to prayer, over 600 times. That changes based on the translation, so don't lock me in on a certain number, but over 600 times. And what that tells me is that it's vital to a connection and a relationship with God and into this understanding about who he is and what he wants for us. And so we need to ask ourselves a question. Do I believe prayer is important? Now, before you answer that, this is kind of like that Sunday school answer, right? All right, we all say Jesus or the Bible, right? Where they're easy answers. So, of course, all of us would say, do you believe prayer is important? We'd all say, yeah, of course, right? The problem is a lot of us, not just the people in church, but a lot of us will say prayer is important, but rarely, or I shouldn't say rarely, maybe that's not fair. Oftentimes, it doesn't show itself in terms of what we say is important. Because I don't think we understand the significance in the power of prayer. We don't really fully grasp that there is power when we connect and communicate with God. E.M. Bounds was an author and pastor in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He wrote this about prayer. Prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. Today we're surrounded by tragedies seemingly daily. Shootings, earthquakes, natural disasters, deaths, illnesses. We're surrounded by these tragedies. And often as Christians, even non-Christians, will easily say this phrase, our thoughts and our prayers are with you. And there's a lot of meaning behind it, but we're quick to respond that way. We're quick to just say that because there is a lot of truth in it. We do think about them and we do pray for them. But a lot of people are starting to criticize that response by saying, God's not fixing this. And so we become very defensive. But in a news cycle, the news cycle creates headlines, they create titles, they create articles based on fear, paranoia, and excitement. They're negative answers, and they're quick answers. We can read a title and assume we know what the story is, right? Oftentimes, Christians, though, will do the same thing. We'll give a quick response out of that, not necessarily, maybe fear, maybe a misunderstanding, but we'll give a quick response and we'll say our prayers and thoughts are with you. But the problem is until we can answer that first question, how is your communication with God? I don't think we're going to be truly understanding the power that is said in those lines of our thoughts and our prayers are with you. Because the truth, if God doesn't exist, or if our communication with God doesn't exist, then our prayers are pointless. But if God exists, and we're taking the time to pray, and I truly believe God exists, then prayer is a powerful tool. And sometimes we have a hard time in this world seeing that play out. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what that looks like. So there's a few ways that we can connect with God, a few ways that we can understand a communication with God and answer this question. The first one is that there is personal communication. When we pray, there's personal communication. Last year, I volunteered for this relatively large event, and I served in my area, did my role, and there was a couple perks, which are always great, and it was over. A couple weeks later, I get an envelope in the mail from this organization, and I'm like, oh, great, they're going to ask me for money, right? Because that's typically what they do. You get that or a form letter, and then the form letter says, are you going to sign up again next year, right? They're just doing their diligence. But when I opened it up and I pulled out the letter, there was a hand-signed card from the director and the founder of this event. And all it said was, thank you for volunteering, and hand signature. All in signature. Like, here's a man overseeing hundreds of people, hundreds of volunteers, and he's got businesses and organizations and all of this stuff. He's got so many things filling his time, but he took the time to handwrite a thank you note to every single volunteer. It caught me off guard. It really did. I mean, in a world where we say, I don't want to talk on the phone, just text me, right? Or we send an email to somebody. Our responses are quick and easy. To take the time out to write a handwritten note, it was personal. It was very personal. See, when we pray, it's a personal communication with the God of the universe, the God over all things. And some of us, that's very intimidating. That we're freaking out. It's like, yeah, what does God care about little old me? And we get a little paranoid. But people, Jesus says to pray personally to God. He doesn't give us necessarily that formula. We often get times to get caught up. Well, Pastor, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't say the right words when I pray. Jesus says, just personal conversation. It's a personal communication. Look what he says in Matthew 6. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that it is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. One of the things that for years have it riddled me with guilt in my relationship with Jesus, And I get to ask this question all the time now is Pastor, how much time should I pray? Right? See, we're looking for an exact number. We're looking for that answer. See, sometimes we want to be super spiritual. Tell me what to say, right? Tell me the exact words to say. See, we try to be really, really spiritual and say, okay, God, it's like a New Year's resolution. I'm going to wake up at 5:30 every morning and pray for 2 hours, right? And it lasts for a day, and then we realize 5:30 is really early. And the alarm goes off, not for some of you, but the alarm goes off, and we turn it off, and then we wake up when it's time to go to work or go to school, right? And we don't follow through. That's not a bash, I'm just telling you. That's nature. I've done that, I do it all the time. I like sleep, right? But it's difficult to get into that routine and into that mode. We've got jobs, we've got families, we've got routines, we've got recreation, we've got all of these things. Now, this does not sound holy. I understand that. But the reality is we get ourselves so caught up in, I'm going to be super spiritual about this, and I'm going to pray for 2 hours. See, there's a secret, I think, to a life spent in prayer, and it can be found in the example of this guy named Smith Wigglesworth. Yes, that's his name, Smith Wigglesworth. You heard of this guy. This guy was an evangelist in the 1800s, and his services were powerful. Like, healings were happening, revival was happening, people were coming to know Jesus, lives were changed, communities were, this guy was legit. And he was connected with God in a way that many of us can only hope for. And so after one of these meetings, this guy came up and says, Smith, tell me the secret. How much time do you pray every day? See, he's looking for a number. He's looking, tell me the formula. See, they did this in the Bible too. Okay, Jesus, you said love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? We do this all the time. Tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do to connect with God. Give me the formula. Give me the magic numbers. So this guy goes to Smith, says, how much time do you pray? Tell me the hours. How do you connect? And so this is Smith Wigglesworth's response. I never pray more than 15 minutes at a time, but I never go more than 15 minutes without praying. And it's not a matter of we're always just, oh. It's allowing God to enter into our everyday lives, to make sure that God is at the front of our brain, that we don't just say God only exists in that 2 hours on 5:30 on Sunday in the morning. God exists at that time, but he also exists when I'm at the grocery store. He exists when I'm in school. He exists when I'm at my job. And I'm allowing God to enter into that space. Someone once pointed this out. It is better to, all right, you got to follow me on this one. It is better to pray a little bit, a lot of the time, than it is to pray a lot, a little bit of the time. Think of it this way. If you're about to take a girl out, do you want to take her out for one long date and then that's it? Or do you want to spend a lot of time with her? Right? It's that constant personal communication. But here's the deal. It doesn't mean you say, okay, that's great. Now I have to set this aside. I don't have to spend blocks of time with him. No, don't ignore this. Don't ignore the intentional scheduled time. And maybe that's what it takes for you. If you're anything like me, you're going to forget stuff within 5 minutes. Write it down. Even take that time of going into your calendar, your phone, your hand, whatever it is, and say, God. And schedule it in, block it in, and be more intentional than I am with exercise about it. Do it. Some of you need that, and that's okay. But this is also talking about inviting him in. And maybe that story of Smith Wigglesworth, that name is still funny. Smith Wigglesworth will remind you, maybe every 15 minutes, just have a God thought. Allow God to penetrate into your brain. Allow God to enter in. See, we have more time to pray than we think. How many minutes are at work that are downtime? How many minutes on the road or driving to school or driving to work where we're just zoning out? Okay, if you're praying in your car, don't close your eyes, okay? We have time in the grocery aisle line. We have time in the hallways of our school. We have time in our lives to make space for God. We just have to think about it. We have to allow that pure communication to come in that personal step. So instead of beating yourself up that, oh, I can't get up at 5:30 and pray and spend 2 hours a day. You're not a monk. You don't live in a monastery. You have a life. I understand that. But it's being intentional of setting aside time and then allowing God into your everyday actions. That's personal. The next way we're going to connect with God through this is there's pure communication. There's pure communication. Over the course of time, there have been many prayers written down. There are many prayers that have been just spoken without being written down. A lot of prayers happen. And let me give you a few. One of my good friends, his family prays this over the meal. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay? My grandma prayed this. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. There's the Jesus prayer, which simply says, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And we can't forget the Lord's Prayer, right? There are some beautifully written down prayers. There are some of them longer, some are shorter, and I love these prayers. I absolutely love they're filled with beautiful poetry, beautiful cries of repentance, beautiful cries of praise. They're absolutely astounding. And it reminded me of a story. There's one Sunday, a pastor came up to the pulpit to lead the congregation, and he looks down at his book with the homily and the prayers and the message, and he finds on there a little post-it note from a member of the church. And all the note said was, Pastor, no cheating. No cheating. I love it. It wasn't a slight against these written prayers. All it was is, Pastor, make sure your heart is pure when you pray. Make sure your heart is pure when you lead us. That's all it was. And so whether we say the Lord's Prayer from memory, whether we say these things over dinner or they come just spontaneous, it's not a matter of how the prayer happens. It's the purity of intent. It's the purity of our hearts. That is where communication with God lies. And see, I've heard, experienced, and prayed some of the most beautifully pre-written prayers ever. And I've experienced the babbling of the others. But I've experienced beautiful, beautiful auditory prayers and written prayers that didn't connect. It's not about the type of prayer. It's about the purity of our hearts. And kids are great at this, aren't they? They're so pure and innocent. They are. I mean, they make us old curmudgeons. They put us to shame, don't they? So there's a story of this little girl. She's praying for their family meal, and she prays this. She says, "Dear God, thank you for taking care of us. Please take us to heaven when we die. I wish we had a garden full of flowers, not vegetables. And I wish it was Christmas every Wednesday. I love you very much. Amen." Prayer and communication with God is about a pure heart. Psalm 51 is a beautiful, beautiful psalm to read. I encourage you to read. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but read it on your own. Psalm 51. I want to read you a portion of it. This is David. David is praying to God and communicating to God and to us now a prayer of a pure heart. He says this: "Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." See, David understood to approach God is about a pure heart. And not only, we don't get hung up on that, they say, "Well, I don't think my heart is pure." David understand that even to approach God, to have a pure heart, is to long for a pure heart. The simple idea of longing to have a pure heart. David says, "Create in me a pure heart." Like, he recognized his own shortcomings. He recognized his own failures and says, "I know I'm not pure right now. Maybe I am in some ways, but create in me that purity." And he approached God. See, in that water, he says, the water is still murky. Now, in the original language, it says pure is clean. It's washed. It's removed from the impurities. So we understand that maybe our lives, the water's still murky. We're not perfectly pure. But it's that prayer of saying, "God, create that in me. Create that in me." And that's where that pure communication with God comes. So Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. "God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God." Pursue a pure heart. A next connector with God is present communication. You know, one of the things that I hear from grandparents all the time, especially who have kids who don't live close to them, they love things like Skype and Zoom, Facebook video, all of, and we have it on our phone. We can do these video phone calls now, right? They get to see grandkids. We get to see grandpas and grandmas. We get to see friends. It's wonderful, isn't it? Such a great tool when you're traveling, when you're far apart, you get to have these connections. See, during World War II, believe it or not, kids, there was a time where email and texting didn't exist. And there was a time where we couldn't video conference. In World War II, it was said that soldiers would write a letter home on average 6 days a week, or six letters a week. And it would take 1 to 4 weeks to go from overseas to stateside United States. And these letters, you can imagine, were just vital to keeping the relationships alive, helping people at home know that they're doing well, that they're doing okay. But it didn't replace that personal connection that they had, where they longed to see somebody face to face, to be present with them. There is something about being present. In 1996, recording artist Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a song called "Let Us Pray." And in that song, he talked about that challenge between saying our thoughts and prayers versus praying. He says this. He says, "I hear you say your heart is aching, you've got trouble in the making, and you ask if I'll be praying for you, please. And in keeping with convention, I'll say yes with good intentions to pray later, making mention of your needs." Sorry, stop there. Do you get that? How many of us do that? "Oh, would you pray for me?" Yeah, you bet. Or, "I'll be praying for you. Let me refer you back to my short-term memory, and I forget things," right? We don't always remember. So he continues to write this. But since we have this moment here at a heaven's door, we should start knocking now. What are we waiting for? There's something about being present with somebody, to pray with somebody and seeking the power of God in that moment. How often do we say, our thoughts and our prayers are with you, or I will pray for you, but we forget or we fail? I'm not trying to create guilt because I am the worst culprit of all of this. But take the moment right now, be present. One of the greatest blessings in my life are those people that we would, in the church, we call prayer warriors. These prayer warriors are people who just, for some reason, they seem to have a connection and a presence. They like sit right at the right hand of Jesus. I mean, it's legit. And the blessings that they have in my life and maybe you've experienced are just powerful. And sometimes it's like, okay, you need to stop praying now. I can't hold on, right? But they're so connected with Jesus. But look what it says in James chapter 4. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. James gives us three things that we talk about with humbling ourselves, and he says resist the devil. Those are both about a pure heart. But then he challenges us, says come close to God. See, the problem is we can't come close to God if we're not resisting the evil. So he's saying the more you resist evil, the closer you can be to God. Continue. This is nonstop. You don't just resist it once. You say, nope, not going to do it. And then you're close to God. It's every day that you push away the things that are holding you back. You resist the devil. You resist evil on a regular basis, and you will come close to God. You will be present with God. It's not always natural. But our communication with God becomes a lot clearer the more we resist, the more we push away, and the more we draw close to God. Another way we're going to understand through prayer is that there is powerful communication. Now, I got to admit, this is probably one of the harder ones. It is for me, and maybe it is for you as well. But to understand the power of God, this is a hard one in some ways, because sometimes we don't see the answers. We don't experience the answers. It's like this little boy. He was praying this by his bed one night. Dear God, Aunt Harriet hasn't gotten married. Uncle Hubert hasn't any work. And Daddy's hair is still falling out. I'm getting tired of praying for this family without getting any results. He was clearly disgruntled with God, wasn't he? I mean, how many of you have prayed that? Not the whole Daddy's hair thing, but the not getting the answers. I know I have. God, where are you? Why am I not seeing the results? Why are my answers not coming about? Why, it's as if you're not listening. It's as if you don't care. I don't get it. See, sometimes when God says no, it makes zero sense. God, you say you love us. You say you love and care for us, but you said no to this. And it's unbelievable. It's heartbreaking. And I don't get it. The reality is that communication with God through prayer is powerful. And I want to try to help us just understand a little bit more of that power, even though that in his power he has chosen to say no, or in his power he has not answered it the way we want. See, the reality is God raised Jesus from the dead. God can heal the sick. God can mend a relationship. God can do. And so it's hard for us sometimes when we line it up and say, God, you can, but you haven't. I don't understand. Doesn't make sense. But could you imagine if everybody got what they asked for? I mean, you got a kid at home praying for a snow day, and you got a parent praying that the kid will go to school. Who's going to win? And then you got thousands of people praying for their team to win, and the thousands of people praying for their team to win. Who is going to be the deciding prayer to win the game? I mean, really. So, Vikings fans, you're losing. You need more people praying. I'm kidding. Kind of. God doesn't care about football. But the reality is, what would happen? And that the deciding person, why does it seem that God answers some prayers and others not? We've been praying like crazy for my dad. My family has, and thank you for your prayers. My dad's making a great recovery. why is he making a great recovery and others passed away? I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense. So Pastor Rick Warren gave us three things that we can understand what we can do when God says no. I'm going to summarize his points, but he gave us three things. But before we do that, I want to caution us before we get into these things. I want you to use these three things only on yourselves. Okay? Here's the challenge is when we don't understand something, we try to explain it. Okay, so when we're sitting with someone and we're trying to help somebody and we're trying to be present and personal, we try to explain the bad because we are uncomfortable with the pain. We are uncomfortable with the hurt. But here's the reality is explanations don't help. Look, if my wife just suddenly passed away or if she got sick and passed away and I know the exact reason, you telling me the reason is not going to bring me any comfort. Be careful. Explanations do not happen. We often believe that if we understand the reasons, if we can make sense of the whys, then it'll be okay. And then we'll bring that to other people and it'll be easier, but it's not. It doesn't help. So when somebody dies or there's a tragedy, the first question is always, why? Right? Why did this happen? Jesus asked that same question when he was on the cross. But here's the deal. Don't presume to know the heart of God unless he specifically tells you. Don't presume to know the why in somebody's situation unless God clearly tells you. So bring it to yourself. And so we offer these explanations when we can't explain the unexplainable, when we can't explain the things that don't make sense, when we can't explain things that don't jive. And so we provide these answers. And what it does is says, I've got God figured out. I've got God figured out because this is what it is, right? Oh, God has a plan, right? And so we say these quick responses, trying to bring healing, trying to bring help and comfort, but they don't because we cannot explain everything. And when we say, God's got a plan or I've got this figured out, we make it about ourselves because we can't handle the discomfort of the situation. We make it about ourselves and not bring healing and hope to the other person. And so in our feeble attempts and our minds to explain away the situation, we're not helping. We're making it worse. And so maybe we need to do what my seventh grade science teacher once told us. The education's probably changed a little bit since then. But he told us this. He says, all right, class, it's time for SSL. Anybody know what SSL is? Sit down, shut up, and listen. That's what our science teacher told us. Hey, it's SSL, and we perk up. Sometimes when you're with somebody in that present, in that pure communication conversation, maybe it's time to just SSL and just allow God to move in that situation, okay? So three things Rick Warren talks about when God says no. The first thing, God says no from a bigger perspective. Look, our perspective on things is very limited. And even in this world, we sit in our nucleus and in our bubble of this world and what we know, and that grows as we experience things and people and places. But even at that, our perspective on things is nowhere near God's perspective. Paul prayed to God, says, God, I'm going to go to Rome and I'm going to preach and I'm going to change the world for you. And God says, okay, you can go to Rome, but you're not going to preach. So Paul goes to Rome and is thrown in prison. Awesome. But in prison, Paul changed lives and changed the course of history. God had a perspective that Paul wasn't even aware of. Another place we see is God says no from a better plan. Oftentimes, God's going to answer our prayers in a way we didn't expect, we didn't want, we didn't see coming. But look at Proverbs 16, verse 9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. He's going to make things. So when we were, when we were transitioning out of our last ministry, I had a very, very clear path of, or plan, I should say, a plan of what was going to happen. I've never really done this, but I could see exactly when it would happen, where it would happen, how it would happen, the people involved. I had a very clear plan about my next phase and what was going on. However, shortly after, not long, things started to unravel. Relationships started to be broken. The ministry started falling apart. It took a toll on my marriage, took a toll on our family, took a toll on me emotionally and spiritually, and started to fall apart. See, but now we are in a place with God's plan in our lives that I never would have experienced or connected or understood. Another way that God says no with a greater purpose. God says no with a greater purpose. Can I be honest? This is a hard one. This is a hard one. When we don't fully comprehend why God said no, or God didn't answer it the way we wanted, he responds to us in this way in Psalm 57, verse 2. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. See, when we're in that place of not understanding, when we're in that place of wondering where we're at, that's going to be the hardest point of faith we will ever experience. When we're at that place of, God, I don't understand. God, why aren't you doing this? God, where are you? But if we can cry out to the God Most High in that question of saying, God, I don't understand. Why are you saying no? If I can do that, it'll help get me through that time. Now, I'm sorry, that may not be perfectly comforting if you're in a situation right now to see that on the other side of things will be good. I'm sorry about that. But if I took a posture right now of just SSL with you, you'd probably all fall asleep. So we got to keep moving, okay? But understand that we have people in this church who want to SSL with you, and we love you, and we will do what we can to sit down and shut up and listen. But I want to try and encourage you with 2 Corinthians 4. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Every week we've been challenged on something. This week we have a simple challenge. Question is this: is your communication loud and clear with others? And is your communication with God loud and clear? How are you doing in those communications? So if we're going to have loud and clear communication, there's a few things about God that I think we need to understand. First, there are some things in life we're just not going to understand. We're not going to understand it until we see him face to face. And that's not encouraging, but it's the truth. Second, there are some things in this life that are going to happen that'll never change. We can't go back to when we were 17 and change the decisions we made. If we had a child born of an illness or a disease, that can't be changed. So we're going to continue to move forward. Thirdly, we can choose how we're going to face these situations. We can choose to make our suffering and allow God to redeem the suffering. We can choose to do that. So the chorus of that song that we said earlier, he continues on in the song and he says this: let us pray everywhere and every way, every moment of the day, it is the right time. Let us pray without end, and when we finish, start again, like breathing out and breathing in, let us pray. That's a communication with God. And God will accept all types of communication with him. Joys, struggles, pains, recited prayers, sometimes just SSL with God and just say, God help. God accepts all types of communication. So we're going to do that. We're going to try and take that posture of communication with whatever, and I pray that you do what David asks, and that you say, God, create in me that clean heart, that I can come to you. And let's do that together. Let's pray. God, we're here this morning, and there might be the pure heart in us. I pray that you would create it. I pray that whatever that would look like, that you would understand that our righteousness is working towards you. And Father, sometimes you say no, or you don't answer it, or you seemingly seem silent, and that's a hard place. Frankly, I get scared and I get angry. There have been times I've wanted to walk away from you. Father, I pray that you would speak into my life, whether it's through one of these individuals or your written word, or an act taken out in this community that just shows yourself in amazing ways. And God, that I would open up my heart and my ears and my mouth to you. But as we talked about, that we would guard our hearts. God, guard our hearts from that evil, that we can set that evil aside and that we can draw close to you. Help us guard our hearts with the decisions we make, the actions we take, the words we say, the words we write down, all of those angry words that come out. Guard our hearts. Help us to draw near to you. Father, thank you for the joyous opportunity to get together in this place, in these four walls, to connect, to learn, to grow, to celebrate, whatever the case is in our time here. Thank you for being the God overall. It's in your name. Amen.